Good morning to everyone present and online. We took a little extra time this morning to communicate, talk with one another. Well, we're ready to get started now. And ironically enough, that's what we're going to talk about this morning is communication. Communication. How many of you would believe me if I told you God is the greatest communicator there ever has been, there ever is, or ever will be? Do you believe that here today? Do you know that in the scriptures, when Jesus talked about taking communion, you know, the cup of the blessing of his blood and his body that's broken for you, the bread that we partake of, that word communion comes from the word communicate. And I've used this phrase hundreds of times, whether it was in marriage counsel, fellowship, any sort of communication I've had with people about relationships, I make this phrase. And that is, communication is the key to any good relationship. Now, where we'll start that at is your communication with God as our Father. And then as we go down, our communication with His Son, Jesus Christ, as the mediator between God and man. Then the next order is the husband and wife. The communication that a husband and a wife have together is so important and key to their relationship that they have. And I'll add this on top of it too, that you have your relationship with God, with Jesus, as it comes down. And then the children are next. Your parents, your mother, your father, as you communicate with your son or your daughter. Then as it goes down the line, your friends, your coworkers, your acquaintances, all the way down to anybody that you ever talk to or have a conversation with. And as I said, God is the greatest communicator ever. And you know what's neat? God will communicate with just about anybody. And that's what we're going to look at here today. His favorite communication is with the Son. And that's where we're going to start here. In Genesis, the third chapter, we'll start reading in the eighth verse. We'll see that God really, really, really enjoys communicating with His Son. How many of you feel like you are in the family of God today, whether you look at yourself as a son or a daughter, as a child of God? You really should, because God is our Father, if you will allow Him to be that, if you believe. And but we'll look at the different scriptures. God communicates with the Son. He communicates with His daughters. He communicates with the angels. There is an awesome portion of scripture we're going to go to. I believe it's 1 Kings 22. I may need Walker to look it up for me. But the whole gist of it is there is a spirit that's come forth and told God he would be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets to get King Ahab, which was the wickedest king ever, to go to war and to lose his life. And in other words, what I'm going to show you, and hopefully you can imagine it, is a heavenly council and God communicating with the angels before the throne and the angels communicating back to God. As a matter of fact, God also will communicate with Satan himself. You ever thought about that? How do you think the story of Job took place? Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man, upright, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil? So let's get into this and let's start looking at what it means to communicate, how valuable, how important it is, and look at the different avenues that God leads us in communication. How many of you here today, by the raising of your hands, feel like you are a good communicator? Oh. How many of you feel like it's possible that your communication skills could get better? All right, you've come to the right place here today. That's what we're going to talk about. Genesis, third chapter, begin reading in the eighth verse. Now, God has in the first chapter created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. On the seventh day, in the second chapter, God creates man and he sees that it's not good that the man should be alone, and he creates him a helpmeet. And we see now that he takes a bone of his rib bone of his side and brings forth the woman. And Adam now has a wife named Eve. As he put him into a deep sleep first. Then when we come into Genesis 3, we see a communication. Now, first of all, God communicated with his son in, I believe it's 2 and 26, wherever it is, I believe it's in the second chapter, and the Lord God commanded the man. So his first communication with man is a commandment. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God's initial communication with his creation, with mankind, was, I'm going to help you. I'm going to instruct you. This is what you need to do. This will be the best thing for you if you do what I show you to do. And guess what? This also will be the worst thing for you if you do what I command you not to do. Because now sin will enter the world. The next form of communication we see in Genesis, the third chapter, what happens? A serpent's there to communicate with Adam's wife, Eve. And he lies to her. He seduces her, as the scripture says, he beguiles her. And she communicates with her husband that the best thing they should do is listen to the serpent over God. So you see how communication works. Now, God is desiring to communicate with his son. And in Genesis, the third chapter, in the eighth verse, Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So God's come and he's talking. They hear his voice. He's ready to communicate with his creation, with his son. As a matter of fact, Walker, we'll show them that real quick. I think most people know it, but it's in the genealogies of either Luke or Matthew. It says Adam, son of God. I'll begin reading at Genesis, the third chapter and the eighth verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God's desiring to communicate with Adam and Eve. And he said, I heard thy voice. I knew you wanted to communicate, but I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who did you communicate with? It actually says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I communicated with you? Or he said, are you following me? I know you're one person that's straining at gnats and swallowing camels is going to say, oh, Pastor Brian, you're changing the word. You're adding to and taking away. I'm bringing you an understanding here today. Quit being a legalist. Quit being a Pharisee and listen to what I got to say to you here today, okay? And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, or in other words, I talked to you about eating of this tree. I communicated with you about it. And the man says, yeah, but I communicated with the woman. And the woman communicated with the serpent. Are you following me on this communication, how this works? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, this is really cool. I'm sorry. And the Lord God said unto the woman, right? Where am I at, 13? And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, so he's just talking right down the line to all of them, huh? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And he continues to speak to the serpent. He speaks to the woman. He speaks to the man and communicates with them about the consequences for their actions of them not obeying his commandment. But what was God's intent in the beginning? Did he set them up in a trap to destroy them, to hurt them, to bring demise into their life? No, he was there for good. He wanted to communicate with them for good. And Walker, there's another scripture. I'll have you read that one. But Paul said, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. But let me start with that first scripture I asked you to get, Walker. It's a genealogy. It's showing that God's first interaction in his story, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he talks to his son.
So in Luke 3, it goes through the genealogy from Joseph to Adam. And in verse 38, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
Which was the son of God. So we see, who does God communicate with first? Does he enjoy communicating with his son? Yeah? We've been talking about confessing and how important it is not only to confess your sins, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but also to confess his name, to confess the word, to confess the goodness of God. Travis, to confess what God has done for us, our testimony, to confess how good God is and what he's done. Now, in communication, there's different forms of communication, especially with God. I just use the example of communion. But what about prayer? What about prayer? Is prayer communication? See, a lot of people think prayer is just me asking, and then telling God my troubles, all my problems, forgive me of all my sins. But they never listen back for God to communicate with them. And I'm going to make a bold statement here today. And that is, God desires to communicate with you more than you realize. And there are times when God does communicate with you many more times than you hear. The problem's not with God wanting to or communicating with you or talking to you. The problem is us not hearing. The problem with us is not perceiving that it's God talking to us. And so then we go throughout our life not communicating with God, not knowing God, praying in a one-way street when it's a two-way street. When you're talking, and the word prayer means asking. When you're talking, you're asking from God. There's also another side to that street called hearing, called receiving. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door shall be open. See, there's, what's it, the theory of relativity? What is it? It's all relative. What goes up must come down, right? That's exactly what, thank you, Tim. I knew when I looked at you, you'd have it. Every action has an opposite and equal action. Reaction. Thank you. I knew you guys would help me with that. You educated people, you. So prayer is a two-way street. It's communication. Now, Walker, did you get that other scripture?
I'm sorry, what was it?
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I'm just asking you to do it to give him a reference, because we already said it, right? So let's start at the top. Does Jesus mediate between God the Father and man? Highest level of communication, correct? So who starts this communication? Your Father. Who hears it? Jesus hears it. What does Jesus do with what his Father says to him? He communicates it to you and me. And you say, well, the servants, I like that word, Julie, I love that. And you say, well, God hasn't talked to me in a long time. I don't think you're perceiving when God's talking to you. You say, well, I haven't had a dream or a vision like you ever, or it's been a really long time. Well, just because you haven't had a dream or a vision, that doesn't mean God's not talking to you. Are you here today listening to what God has spoken to somebody that has communicated? Yes, you are. Do you have a Bible with 66 books in it that God communicated for every single one of us to benefit from? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You say, well, wait a minute. You're the preacher. I don't feel like I'm the man of God. Do you have Jesus in your heart here today? Come on. Do you have Jesus in your heart, in your thoughts, in your spirit? Then you have the man of God. He's in you. The scripture is there to benefit that word that's in each and every one of us. And profitable. This makes sense, doesn't it? You know, you could communicate with one another about the good things of God, and it be a blessing to you. But there's one thing you got to watch out for. It's funny because I'll always have the same reply when a person tells me. I'll say, hey, how you doing? Oh, just living the dream. Yeah, I said, me too, just sometimes one nightmare at a time. Or the real one I was going to bring out to you is, how you been? Oh, I'm living in paradise. Well, while you're there, watch out for that serpent. Because in paradise, that's where the serpent talked to Eve. And so when you're communication, you want clean communication. And when you're young, just like Jennifer Green talked a lot about being a teacher, and Jennifer Gowett talked about teacher appreciation last week, and last week was National Prayer Week, so they got together and prayed and all those things. Just like a school system, if you're young, then find somebody that knows what they're talking about to communicate with. You're not going to benefit a whole lot from somebody that's below you. You know, there's different levels in God. You got a babe in Christ, a newborn infant. You got adolescent. You got toddlers. You got children. You got young men. And then you have those that walk in the fullness of the stature of man in Christ Jesus. So find the right place to communicate. Is fellowship communication? Yeah. Is counsel communication? How about preaching? Is preaching communication? You know, one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons that we preach, do you know why? Do you know why Jesus preached to his disciples so much? Obviously, it was to raise them up, to teach them as disciples, to teach them doctrine and those things. But he was looking to provoke them, Travis, to what they didn't understand, to ask questions about. In other words, if you don't understand it, don't hide it. Communicate. Let's talk about it. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He can take you farther. Hopefully in our school system, the teachers know more than the kids, even though the kids think they know more than the teachers. And the kids think they know more than the parents. But it shouldn't be that way. And really it's not. That's a facade. It's a delusion, if you want to say. Most of the time, not all the time. Most of the time the teachers do know more. And your pastor should know more than your deacons or anybody that's just sitting in the church. So I'm just, you know what I'm doing here today, and I meant to open it up this way. I'm going to go ahead and go back to it. I'm setting an order. I'm setting an order, and I want to set an order here today for this church specifically here. Living Fellowship in Visalia, California. On Monday nights, well, let's start with Sunday, what I'm doing here today, okay? I've been installed, called, chosen, and sent to be the pastor of this church in Visalia, California. The shepherd over the flock, or as Pastor Gary, which him and Dawn, his beautiful wife, will be here on Tuesday, says, God has set me as the angel over the church. You get that in the book of Revelation. There were seven churches. There were seven angels. The word of the Lord would come to the seven spirits, and the seven spirits would minister to the churches and would encourage them in what some things they did were right, but then others, we need to repent. We need to fix. So as the pastor, I should set the order. I should set the precedence and bring to you an inspired word of God that God has been talking to me. I share those things with you, what God's given to me. Then on Monday nights, we have several deacons and others that are aspiring into ministry that are going to be edifying, exhorting, sowing, bringing unity of the faith with what the elders and obviously the head of all this is God our Father and his Son Jesus Christ, which really are one. But on Monday nights, it's going to be a little bit, I'm going to say it this way just for order's sake, a little bit more of a beginner's class. But it's going to be very good for you to have these things sown to you and hear the unity of the faith that's coming forth, okay? But Wednesday nights, and I'm going to say it plainly, it's going to be a higher learning. So just know that going into it. There may be some things I don't understand. Don't come in with an expectation that you're going to understand everything I say. And if you really want to make sure the devil never gets in your thoughts, don't come in with an expectation that you know more than me and you're going to teach me, okay? I know I'm being bold here today. I'm being plain, but there's devils out there, and we're going to set them straight, okay? Gary said he's a devil hunter. He's going to be here for a week, so I guess we're going hunting, huh? All of you that feel like going hunting with us, join in, okay? Now, That's a bit of an order. That's teaching you and showing you, giving you a heads up of how we're going to communicate one with another in this church in Visalia, California. That sound good? Okay. Walker, did you find out, was it 1 Kings 22 and 22?
Yes, when the lion's spirit.
Yeah, let me go there. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Kings 22. And let me see how far I want to go up. We'll probably start in 19. I'll tell the story here, though. There was a king of Israel named Ahab. His wife's name is Jezebel. How many are familiar with those two names? Ahab was a king of Israel after the dividing of the 12 tribes. He was over Israel, not Judah, correct? And the Bible tells us that he was the wickedest king ever. Wicked, wicked, wicked. And you know why? One of the things what made him wicked? Guys, hold your toes. Don't let me step on them too much here, okay? Because he listened to his wife over God. Now you giggle, you laugh. He listened to his wife over God. You know, there's a few times that that gets you in trouble. We already read the first one with Adam and Eve. What about Abraham, father of all them that believe? Who'd he listen to? Ooh, he hearkened unto his wife, didn't he? Now God made it a blessing. Because Sarah said, God said to Sarah, you talked to Sarah, you communicated with Sarah, and Sarah had said to Abraham, they had a promise. We've been talking about this. They had prophecy come to them that you're going to have a son. Well, they didn't wait the full 25 years that God had planned, or 24 years, I should say. And Sarah says, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I'm old, probably 83. Well, let's see, 74, in their 80s, let's do it that way. Plumbing shut down. How about you go into somebody younger? I got a handmaiden named Hagar. She can be your concubine. Abraham's like, well, you know, I really don't want to. But, as you said, and from that union come forth Ishmael. But God had plans some 12 years later for his promise to be fulfilled, didn't he, Daryl? As Isaac to be born. But God was so gracious. He loved Abraham so much. You know, Abraham is the only person I know in the Bible to actually be called this, although once you're a servant, your next step is to be a friend. Because he doesn't say everything to the servant, but he holds nothing back from the friend. He said, Abraham is my friend. Abraham is a friend of God. Isn't that cool? So he loved Abraham so much, he said, I'm going to take this thing that you've done, and you've went into Hagar, which was, he was born after the flesh, wasn't he? And Isaac was born after the promise. She was a bondwoman, and Sarah was a free woman. I think that's Galatians 4. But he said, I'm going to turn that into a blessing. And all nations are going to be blessed because of what took place here. Now, that ties into what we're going to talk about next, where God tells Abraham, listen to me closely because it is a parable. In the prophecy that God gave to Abraham, one of them, he tells him, look towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou canst number them, tell them, so shall thy seed be. Listen to me. In Revelation, the first chapter, it talks about the seven churches, being the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the seven angels. When God told Abraham to look to the stars, he said, communicate with the angels. Confess to the angels. Tell the angels the prophecy I just gave you. Tell the angels my promise that I gave you, because they're going to watch over you. They're ministering spirits sent to the heirs of salvation, and they're going to watch how faithful I am. They're going to watch and they're going to see that I told you that you're going to have a promise, Walker. And they're going to watch that promise come to pass. Mikey, they're going to see your faith and be able to be a partaker of your faith. Do you see why he speaks to the angels? Do you know the angels desire to look into, Daryl, the salvation that's become to you as a son? The angels desire to look into this. This thing, I call it a thing, we're handling the word of the Lord, salvation. Travis, is so much bigger than the world tells us it is. So much bigger. Because you know where it starts at? You being separated from God in sin. You know where it ends up at, Jennifer? You being reconciled, gathered back in, one with God himself. And I understand there's different levels of understanding and there's different enlightenment. But if God's giving an invitation to be one with him, to join in with him and learn with him and be a part of his family and live in heaven forever and ever and ever. Oh, I love it. Hey, let's go. That's what my buddy at the gym does. He pounds his chest, Zach. He'll get the whole gym fired up. He'll, let's go. Everybody in there, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's go, huh, Jennifer? You'll accept that invitation, won't you? Now, where was I? I was setting it up. Ahab's a wicked king. God's going to get him into a battle where he gets killed. But he finds himself, you say God finds himself in a bit of a dilemma? He finds himself in a bit of a dilemma to where he says, let me talk to the angels. How many of you perceive what I said when God told Abraham, look toward, this is Genesis 15, look to the stars and tell them. You know in Genesis 22, Dale, you know what he also promised him? Your seed's going to be as the sand of the sea. Did Abraham have a child after the abomination of the flesh, sands of the sea? Did Abraham have a child after the free woman of the promise? Isaac, huh? Stars of heaven, heavenly family, earthly family. Now you know why God said, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pretty awesome. He's got family everywhere. That's so cool. But also, I really got to emphasize this with you. Walker, he was telling him, confess to the angels. Tell the stars. Communicate with the angels and tell them what I said to you. How many of you have ever thought about when God speaks to you and shares something with you that you could tell that to the angels? That you can confess. You say, well, I didn't even know what an angel is. I've never seen one. Well, you might want to start thinking about it. Hebrews, the first chapter and the seventh verse said that God made all his angels ministering spirits. That 14th verse says that they are sent to the heirs of salvation. Is that you? It's me. Do you know many of the times that you have a quickening? Travis, say, you're in a service like this. I'm going to say it in layman's terms. We're here today, and I say something to you that means something to you. Has this ever happened to you? I've talked to people, and this happened to me very, very young. I would sit in a service, and it was like the preacher was hitting me right between the eyes with everything he said. I was like, nobody even needs to be here. He's talking to me. I mean, you know, I'm in trouble. I'm happy. Whatever it is he's getting on to me about or encouraged me in. He's talking to me, happened to me all the time, every service. But what I found out later, Dathan, was there are times when you're hearing the word of the Lord and you don't even realize it, but your spirit goes into the spirit, and Zach, angels are actually talking to you. They're actually quickening to you things that God has inspired that preacher to preach. But you don't realize it. But it sure makes you feel good, and you sure get some instruction from it. How much greater would it be to be able to see these things? You say, what do you mean, see these things? Is the Bible a lie, or is the Bible the truth? You know, one of the visitations of Abraham was in the plains of Mamre. Daryl, there were three there. One was the Lord, and there was two angels. Why are the angels always present when God's prophesying, you guys? Huh? He's telling Sarah this time. This is going to happen. What did Sarah do? Tents of Mamre. The Lord's, she's in another tent. He's going to make a meal for the Lord and these angels. Kill the fatted calf. And what does Sarah do? Daryl said it already. She laughed. And then you know what else she did? She denied it. God said, you laughed. No, I did not. No, I did not. You don't want to laugh at the things of God. You want to hear them. You want to believe them. You want to walk in them. Because as I've been teaching. And you know what? I backed off it a little bit because I could see. And this is why we're setting this order for Monday night, Wednesday night, Sundays. On Sunday, what I'm going to do is share with you what God's given to me. But it's going to be more of a preaching to the multitude. And like Jesus did. And the disciple, when the disciple hears it, they're going to come and say, hey, what was this about? What was that about? And you know what the scripture says Jesus did with his disciples when they entreated him, when they asked him about the mysteries, the parables that he had spoken? It says he took them into the house and expounded all things to them. So when you talk to me, when you communicate with me, I guarantee you I know. I got a disciple here. And it's only because of the discernment God's given me. Travis, I know. I got a disciple talking to me here. You know, I got a young one talking to me. I got an adolescent talking to me. But here, I'm not going to let anybody off the hook here. I know. Because God gives me, I know when I got a devil talking to me. And I know the Lord knows how to handle that devil. You know what happens sometimes? Anybody ever been given the silent treatment in a relationship? Huh? You done, and I'll be kind here today. We got children here. I won't use the word I was going to use. You done ticked me off. I think you guys figured out that other word, huh? You done made me mad. I ain't talking to you. Huh? And so you cut the communication off. But let me show you something. There is a time when it is correct. You say, what do you mean? I thought you said communication. Keep talking. If somebody is one with the devil and they're listening to that devil and they will not listen to God, me personally, God showed me this in the spirit, Carrie. He taught me it. Tim Gowett understands that I showed it to him. I will not instruct. Poverty and shame cometh to him that refuses instruction. I will cut off communication. Do you know why? Listen to me closely. Because if they're fellowshipping devils and they're listening to lies, I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to let God talk to that devil. And when God's done talking to that devil, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a repentance. And then I can step back in and say, okay, I can help you now. We can communicate. So, well, Pastor Brian, I think you've gave me the silent treatment before. I don't think any of you would say that. Well, maybe Madison. She make Madison make me mad. That's why I love Dathan so much. He it was like a relay. Here, you take the baton. Go. Right? Yeah. But there's a flip side to Madison. She's the sweetest young lady, the sweetest little girl. So are you calling Madison Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? No, I'm saying she's human. She's human. All of us are. And communication is the key to any good relationship. I'm going to stop there for today. I'm going to stop on a positive note with Dathan and Madison. How's that? We'll come back. We'll talk about more of this communion. Tim, you guys take a look at this. 1 Kings 22 and 22. There's a council in heaven, Julie. God's counseling with angels and said, hey, what do you think I should do? Now, God knows. So what's the purpose in this written in the book? It's for the Son. It's for us to learn. It's for our admonition. It's to make us aware that there's a heavenly council, Carrie, that there's angels, there's ministering spirits, that God himself. Have you ever read in the Bible where God repented? You can find it. God was going to smoke all of Israel. Moses stepped in and communicated with God immediately. Jennifer Gallant's going, yep, yep. He communicated and said, Lord, if you kill them, kill me also. Because all the people will see it and they'll say, you couldn't do what you said you was going to do. And the Bible says the Lord repented. Sometimes Carrie would say the Lord repented of the evil that he was going to bring upon them. No, no. God's almighty. He knows all things. He understands all things. So why would it say it like that? For you and I to learn. To realize, Julie, that God wants to communicate with us. That he communicates with the son first. That he communicates with the daughters. That he communicates with his wife. That he communicates with the angels. And when I say the sons, the daughters, and the wife, am I talking about the church? I am talking about church. Am I talking about you and I? I am talking about you and I. Am I talking about his family? 100%. He's a good father. There's best there ever been. And you know what, as a good father, Tim, Junior, you know what happens so often? He's the greatest father ever, and on a daily basis, he's accused of the opposite. Do you know why, Jim? Because there's a devil out there, and he's a liar. And God will help you to discern that and get him every time. You be patient. Travis, I love it. Travis said, I agree. He said, amen. We're going to stop right there, kick it back off the next chance we get. Remember Tuesday night at Jennifer's house, Wednesday night at my house, in-person Bible studies. We'll see how many people get sick or don't. Monday night online tomorrow. Thursday, our regular study, and then we'll have Pastor Gary back here, hopefully with his wife Dawn doing a little speaking also on that Sunday. And then one more study I'll have Gary oversee on the next Monday night. I don't know who's that is. I'm making the call, okay?